Chapter 22. Megan cleared the table while Dad went out to help Seth gather wood for a fire. He came back in alone, arms piled high.
"Where's Seth?" June asked.
"He's gone. So's the car."
Dad's voice didn't sound worried or upset. It was his calm voice, the one that meant trouble. Megan glanced at the sideboard. "The keys are gone, but so is your shopping list. He probably went to the store." The words were for June's benefit. She didn't want her to worry. Dad frowned, and she knew why. Seth would have no idea where the store was, so why would he leave without asking? She joined her dad at the fireplace.
"Let me. I can build it so it won't smoke."
He held his hands up in surrender and backed away as she opened the flue and arranged the kindling around one of Graham's fire starters, dried pine cones dipped in paraffin.
"My budding control freak," he told June, not quite sure if she's going to be a genius or a sociopath. "Teenagers, the brain's not done cooking yet."
Megan rolled her eyes as she lit the fire. Grown-ups always thought just because they were older, they were better at everything.
"Either way, you have your fire and no room filled with smoke." "That was just the one time," he protested.
"Does she realize she sounds exactly like her mom?" June said, laughing. "You two are lucky." Did she mean Megan and Dad were lucky to have Mom? Or that Mom and Dad were lucky to have Megan? She used the poker to adjust the logs. She loved this house. Dreamed of living in it someday. Not with Mom and Dad. They had their house, and Megan wanted it to stay just like it was. No, when she was older, after college, she wanted to come live here, by herself, maybe someday, with her husband. Mom and Dad over in Pittsburgh and the house Megan grew up in, so she could still visit, while she lived here in Graham's house, and things could go back to almost the way they were, close to it as she could get.
"Dad, did you call Andrea to take care of Zeke and Boots?"
The puppy and cat were Megan's responsibility, but no one had planned for them to be here all night.
"Your mom did just before she left. They're fine."
Dad glanced around.
"June, I'm not sure which chair would be easiest for you. Want me to move one of the kitchen chairs out near the fire?"
"No, thanks. I feel better standing. She..."
Megan rubbed her belly.
"Gets cramped if I sit too long."
"Okay. Megan, want to help me change the beds for our guests?"
Nick moved down the hall. Megan reluctantly followed him. She hated making beds. When she joined him in Graham's bedroom, he was on his knees rummaging through the nightstand.
"When you were in here earlier, did you see Graham's gun?"
"Which one? The shotgun or the pistol?"
Growing up with a mom who carried weapons, they'd all learned how to handle them. Megan was almost as good a shot as her mom, better than her dad. Since Graham's lived alone, she didn't bother to keep her guns locked up like Mom did. Megan wasn't sure why Mom bothered. Wasn't like she had to worry about Megan doing something stupid.
"The pistol. She kept it in here, but it's gone."
"It was in the bottom drawer earlier, and the shotgun is under the bed."
He sat back on his heels, obviously worried.
"The pistol isn't here. Seth must have taken it."
He stood up, turning to the window, thinking things through. Dad liked to do that. Be certain about everything before he made a decision about a person.
What was there to think about?
Megan leaned down, grabbed the shotgun, and handed it to her dad.
"Careful, it's loaded."
She turned to Graham's closet and barely had to stretch to reach the box of shells off the shelf. After a growth spurt last month, her clothes didn't fit anymore, but no one had noticed. Graham would have, just like she would have remembered that Megan's birthday was in a week and she'd be turning 14. She'd have something fun planned for them, like she always did when Megan came to visit. Most of her friends griped about being forced to visit their grandparents, but Megan loved it when she got to come up here and stay. Grams and she would work in the garden, take hikes down the mountain, go fishing at Grandpa's secret place on the river, the place where he'd taken Mom when she was a little girl,
and Grams would let Megan use Grandpa's fishing rod. Megan sniffed, clutching the box of shotgun shells. Why couldn't everything just go back to the way it was? She missed her Grams so much. But right now, at this moment, with danger fluttering through her gut, she missed her mom even more. If Lucy were here, she'd keep them safe. Seth sent the threat to the judge? Lucy asked, not caring that she allowed her dismay bleed into her voice. Why? Threatening a judge was a federal offense. Seth would never risk being arrested, forced away from June's side. But wait, when did this happen?
4 months ago.
Ah, after Seth was poisoned and learned he was dying. His attempt to get June and his baby under the protection of the U.S. Marshals. Too bad the judge ended the trial so quickly, or it might have worked. Did he also post the ultrasound? She asked. No, that wouldn't make sense. Those bullets today were real. Seth would never endanger June or the baby merely to get them protection. Besides, he'd already arranged for the best protection money could buy, just not good enough to keep Daddy at bay. Taylor shook his head.
No, that was Daddy. I'm sure of it.
How do you know Seth sent that threat to the judge?
More than that, he's been surfing the dark net, hanging out with the pedophiles. I thought maybe Daddy had blackmailed him into betraying June.
Taylor looked stricken. How could he?
He didn't.
She was glad he didn't ask her to explain how she could be so certain. But after seeing Seth with June, knowing that he would literally die for her, there was no way she'd believe Seth would betray June. How did you find all this?
He shuffled his feet, suddenly looking 20 years younger. When I got back here, I realized Seth's rental was parked downstairs, along with their stuff. I figured I should check to see if anything was bugged. Maybe that was how Daddy traced them up here.
He jerked his chin up. Did you bring me their phones? I really want to analyze them.
No, they're still in the dead box in the trunk of your car.
You didn't bring my car back?
Driving down a mountain, pouring rain in a hurry, and Nick's Explorer was more convenient.
Don't worry, nothing is going to happen to your car.
Then she realized what he was doing, deflecting her.
Taylor, you searched their car without permission or a court order? And whose computers are these?
I kind of had implicit permission to look for signs of a tracker. And you can put tracking software on a laptop as easily as you can a phone.
Taylor. She caught herself using the same tone she used with the puppy at home, blew out her breath, and sank back into the chair.
Show me what you found.
None of it is admissible.
Just show me.
He changed the monitor so it mirrored the laptop screen. Seth had two laptops with him.
One, obviously for work and everyday stuff. That one I left alone once I was sure it wasn't bugged. Attorney, client, privilege, and all that.
And the other?
The other is a totally different story. Almost nothing on it except his own Tor access and a VPN, virtual private network. It makes just about anything you do on a computer untraceable, unless you know what you're looking for, like me.
So you found the threat to the judge?
Yeah. He thought he'd deleted it, but nothing's ever truly deleted from a hard drive unless you overwrite it with scrubber software. And even then, you might find traces.
And he was visiting porn sites?
Yeah. No downloads, no images on the computer. And he couldn't get into a lot of the hardcore sites. They make you go through a validation process before they'll give you access. But he definitely found a couple of guys. He's been building a database of their details, like profile names they use, locations they mention, stuff like that.
Were these guys maybe working with Daddy? Or threatening June?
Seth said they've been getting death threats ever since they began the civil suits. It'll take me some time to correlate things. Not like these guys use their real names. Although, I think Seth might have been able to trace a few of them back to the real world. Hints they left about jobs and where they lived. Give me more time with it.
Not until we get his permission and a warrant.
But if these guys are working with Daddy, they might be here, in Pittsburgh, waiting for the chance to get at June, just like the motorcycle guy, who's dead now. What's up with the idea that he's a serial killer?
Well, maybe not a serial killer. Probably more like hitman.
Burroughs said they found some IDs that belonged to other men, and when they ran their names, they're all homicide victims.
Here? In Pittsburgh?
I don't know.
Maybe we should head over there and find out.
She pushed back on her feet, ignoring the wave of complaints generated by her ankle.
Grab your gear.
He gathered his laptop and shoved it in a messenger bag. The monitor screen switched back to the geographic search program, combing through thousands of potential suspects. Even if they found Daddy's home base, it wouldn't be anywhere near Pittsburgh. They needed to find the man. Here. Now. It was the only chance to save June. And that little girl, Missy Barstow, his latest victim. If she was still alive.